Acts chapter number 8. Now, clearly that didn't, there was no sense of putting a damper on something. You're good with it. Okay, good. Daniel chapter number 8. We've been going through this reel-to-reel time transition in the book of Acts, and specific things are recognized. Just like when you read through the Bible, what's one of the amazing things about it to me, just infinite examples, but when God picks certain instances in people's lives, they're for a reason. And in the book of Acts, he's outlining certain things that are being hashed out historically that will correlate with the Christian experience from their new birth and from their day of Pentecost, where they're baptized with the Holy Ghost. And there's things that you're going to realize. They're all hashed out, brother. And we're looking at now involving, we're looking at prejudices, and we looked at last week, the distinction that isn't, it's not swallowing at a gnat. It's not doctrinal hearers that you're becoming divisive over. The word of believing in versus believing on is clearly recognized, especially in the Gospel of John, as being two different aspects of faith. One is in the head, one is in the heart. And if it doesn't get to the heart, you can believe all you want and not be saved. Because there's hundreds, and I would say thousands, and even hundreds of thousands, go one step further, millions of people that believe in Jesus Christ that aren't saved.
Yep.
A lot of them have the wrong Jesus Christ. And a lot of them, it never goes further than their head. So we looked at that. This was the first example, and it's important to recognize. Because Satan himself will appear as an angel of light, and he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. So it's important to recognize not just the clothing of the sheep, but the baa of the sheep. Amen. Now we looked at that, and we saw that. Now, one other thing that's important. When you saw in verse 13, Simon himself believed also, and when we stopped at verse 16 or so, where we looked at the showdown between the Jews in Jerusalem and the Samaritans. It was a shootout, and we're going to go right back to that, but this is very important within this context. Simon himself, because so many Christians, especially when they're young, get caught up in this. They get caught up in the connection of true faith with the experience of signs and wonders and miracles. And that's what's here. Verse 13, Simon himself believed also when he was baptized, continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out, look in 2 Thessalonians 2. And I don't know if you're familiar, but yesterday, April 9th, 2016, was the 110th anniversary of the Azusa Street Pentecostal movement, with the birth of the what would be considered the first wave of the charismatic revivals right there. They were gearing for and professing to have as their aim and goal over 100,000 people in Los Angeles, California. They had a lot of people there. And that's what it's about. It's about breaking down see, it's misunderstanding prejudices. Prejudices in the Bible, there's a human element. You can't break down divisions and barriers that are scriptural boundaries not to cross when it comes to doctrine, because that involves heresy. And you cannot unite with heretical faiths that profess Jesus Christ. Exactly what this is showing you, the distinction of belief, is what's being used to say, well, we're not supposed to be prejudiced, and you unite. You can't unite under the umbrella of Catholicism as the head of all the representations of Christianity. You can't. You can't, because that's the whore of Babylon in Revelation 17. Now, look at this in 2 Thessalonians 2. So those signs and wonders? And what you'll see is you'll see this emotional energy that is driven towards these type of environments, because there's activity, there's things going on, there's signs and wonders and miracles, and surely they have to be of God, and that in and of itself is a heresy. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So I was watching that and I'm like, my God, that's what the church wants. That's what people professing to be Christian wants. Because a bunch of them are saved. I'm not saying they're all lost. But I would reckon to believe a whole bunch of them aren't saved. So you can't unite with Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Catholics just because they talk in tongues. See, that's uniting over an experience and not doctrine. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But that's the day and age we live in. 2 Thessalonians 2, looking at verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Two different aspects of the same thing. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. Important, a letter from us. People were counterfeiting Paul's writings while he was still alive. If you think that they're not doing it now, you are naive. Because there's no reason for them not to. And there's no new thing under the sun. As that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's all I want you to see. That means apostasy. Apostasy means to fall away. So there's a falling away, and you're shown who this man of sin is when he comes. In verse number 8, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who's coming. So before the coming of Christ is the coming of the spirit of Antichrist. That's what you're seeing. That's what existed yesterday at that Azusa Street ecumenical movement. That's exactly what it was. It was the spirit of Antichrist. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all what? Just like Acts chapter 8. The inability to differentiate signs and wonders and miracles as being a counterfeit apostate work of the devil versus the truth based on the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? That's important to recognize with all signs, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So you got that's what's going on in look in 2 Timothy 4, one other place. Do you see that? How that was the last days of the church? Thessalonica is written to who? The church that's at Thessalonica. It's Christians. That you find a difference when he talks about the last days in regard to the Jews in Matthew 24. There's no mention of earthquakes and seals being broken and plagues. It's integrity, it's faith, it's character, it's doctrine. 2 Timothy, that's what involving in with the church. 2 Timothy, because we're not going to be here with the plagues and the earthquakes. Do you understand?
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter number 4. It's important to recognize that that's omitted when he talks about the last days to the church. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 2. Look at verse 1. No, also in the last days, perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy. What did I say? 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. There you go. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exalt with all longsuffering. And see how it begins. The negative element of the word of God is rejected. People do not want to hear the negative element of the word of God. They don't want to hear it. And if you understand how God deals in your life, that's what precedes. The spirit is the manifestation of the flesh before the fruits of the spirit. The cross where sin is put to death before the resurrection where the new man comes alive. That's God's order. See? Repent. See? Whom I love, I chasten and rebuke. That's how I hate sin, but I love you. You got to repent and I'll receive you. There's an order. They don't want that order. See? So you've got this motivational speaking where all God is presented as is a God of love. And it's a misrepresentation of holiness. So he said, preach the word, but instant in season, out of reprove, rebuke, before exalt, with all long suffering and what? Now get that, because he's telling you, this is to the church. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's what is existing today. That's what took place yesterday with a crowd of 100,000 people. They don't want the word of God. They don't want a verse-by-verse study of the book that God gave to us over centuries and millennia, cumulatively and individually put on your lap so that you could read it and hold it and recognize what he wrote to you and I as individuals, sir.
Well, John, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that they don't want to, they get convicted.
Yeah, very good. That's right. There's no doubt about it. I'm telling you right now, because you look at the list of the preachers that are not looking, I'm like, you've got, you know, someone messing around with fornication, somebody messing around with homosexuality. So all this sexual perversion and, you know, drugs and standing behind a pulpit, you can't do that and expect God to honor that. He's called the Holy Spirit for a reason. Amen. And who here is without sin, cast the first stone. I'm not casting stones. Amen. I'm telling you that God is holy and the Bible's holy. And you can't allow that, brother. You can't. Anybody could come into this church. Not anybody could become a member of it. You can't allow that. Amen. Sir?
They were claiming the other day, a group of them, how they indicated that homosexuality and lesbianism is a gift from God. That's exactly what they said.
Well, the Roman Catholic Church put out an encyclical the day before yesterday. Yeah. Now, the timing of that is important because that preceded this ecumenical unity under the umbrella that the Roman Catholic Church is holding in their hand. Right. Anybody want to come in? As long as you recognize I'm holding the umbrella. And I move it here, you come over here. I move it here, that's exactly what's going on. He put out an encyclical that not only watered down but allowed for, you know, their concepts of homosexuality, lesbianism, divorce, so on and so forth. And that's dangerous, brother.
Yep.
But that's where we are we not? It's what people want. Yep. Amen.
This is a crazy question. Well, I'm just so dumbfounded about a lot of Christians. They're getting so sidetracked with the signs and wonders.
Exactly.
They really, really
yes.
I believe that they're saved. You know, they make a profession of faith. I even have a couple of friends who are really, like, into that stuff. And it's really, really sad. Like, I don't understand. You know, they read the word, John. They pray, and they still don't have the discernment when it comes to, you know, like, sound doctrine. I just get dumbfounded.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're getting what they want. They're getting what they want. Andy?
I think that comes from they're taught what to think and not how to think.
Very good. Mm. Yes, that's right. Very good. And their interpretation is
the Bible, and they read it, and they look at what they're told, what to think, and that's what comes
out. Mm-hmm. There you go. The emotions of what they're hearing in a church environment makes people feel good. Brethren, why are people so convicted about, you know, homosexuality or abortion if it's not wrong? There's a conviction. It's not just a legal argument because it's already been legally determined to be okay. It's a conviction, like brother just said. That's the problem. They're convicted. How do you remove that conviction? Take away the edge of the sword. Have Christians not preach it or water it down, or dull it. That's a seared conscience. That's the day and age we live in. So there is no way you are going to have revival in America or anywhere without this book being the final authority and Jesus Christ being preeminent, driving us to the cross so that the holiness of God could be resurrected from the empty tomb in your personal life. People don't want that. They don't want that, sir.
Brother John, can we consider that in 2 Thessalonians, verse number 3? It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away.
Yes, first.
Yes.
First, that's apostasy.
Exactly so, but Tiki was indicating that
it's fulfilling prophecy.
I don't understand sometimes. Some people would even consider the thought of falling away from God to hold on to what they believe is.
Yes. So now here's the danger when you have this falling away, you've got the lost mingling with the saved and you can no longer tell anymore.
Yeah.
See? Mm-hmm. And that's diluting it. It's taking away the power of the cross. Mm-hmm. So now other people begin to get in. And it becomes just a big mangled mess.
Yeah.
And you can no longer even determine if people you once thought were saved are still saved. Isn't that crazy? And it's not because of a lifestyle. It's because of the book.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's where division is worth coming. Because this book, it divides asunder.
Yes.
This book is, that's worth dividing over. Okay. Not whether or not they wear a dress or have a TV. Amen. Acts chapter number 8. Now you see that? That's very important. It's right here. And this is in the process of your own personal growth. You need to understand that. Miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. So that you had asked, I think, Tiki, that would indicate John was an apostle. The apostles came. They were the ones that stayed at Jerusalem. And John Mark isn't even brought out in this point yet, but that's how you're able to recognize which John it is. But you've got this showdown, this shootout right here, which we kind of illustrated and looked at last time we were here. And it's involving the prejudices, both of the Jews who they don't believe God can go to Samaria because we're better than Samarians. And the Samaritans don't believe that God can come from Jerusalem because we're better than Jerusalem. Amen. It's prejudice is two sides. Amen. And both of those, that's why he's going to require there to be a laying on of hands. Because the laying on of hands is an official acknowledgement. And that's what God is requiring on both parts. Okay, I got it. The Samaritans got the Holy Ghost. And I got it. The authority of God and the power of God's coming from through Jerusalem. Amen. And so you got Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John. And I'll tell you, I was just reading a really sad thing. And it's very common in Tanzania and Africa, where the albinos are singled out to be killed because they're white Africans. That they're not just, you know, African. They have all the features of an African, but they're white. So that makes that peculiarity singles them out as something that they feel needs to be killed. And you read stories, this has been going on for years and years and years and years, but they're specifically singled out. And it's so frightening to see. They're not like us, see? So he says, they sent unto them Peter and John. And again, it's the last time you mentioned John, like everyone else. He's going to fade out like Mary you read about in Acts chapter 2, and then that's it. How can you be a Catholic and read through the book of Acts and say that you're supposed to pray to Mary? How can you do that?
You don't
ever read it. Am I right? 30 years of church history and nobody ever prays to her. So how do you get that? Amen. Who, when they were come down, they prayed for them that they... Now, here's the other problem. Now, is it possible to believe in Jesus Christ and not be saved? That's right, right? Now you have people here that they had they received the word of God, but they did not receive the Holy Ghost. And so people are saying, well, wait a minute. There are some people here that are saved. When you're saved, you receive the Holy Ghost. And this is what you need to understand. When you get saved, you receive the Holy Ghost where? Inside. Okay? He's on the inside. Now let's look at this and understand it. Because it's possible to be saved and receive the Holy Ghost and not be filled with the Holy Ghost. And his power not to be upon you. That's what they're talking about. For a reason. Because there's this prejudice of where the power of God is coming from. So that's why he held off. Amen. But anybody that's saved, they had the Holy Ghost right here. Amen. Now look at this in Romans chapter number 8. Make no mistake about, is it possible to believe? And, you know, then they got baptized and you know, they're saved. But don't they receive the Holy Ghost? You better believe they do. He indwells them. Amen. But it's possible to receive the Holy Ghost and his power not to be in your life. That's what you're seeing here. That's the entire context of the chapter. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9. Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell where?
In you.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God dwelling in him, he's not of Christ. He's none of his. Do you see that? So he dwells in you. Look in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. When you get saved, you get baptized. Spirit baptism. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into this, into one spirit. So you're baptized into the Spirit, and he indwells you. You got that? So the moment you get saved, the Spirit indwells you. You're immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now look at it in Galatians chapter 3. When you ask Jesus Christ to save you, you receive him by faith. Galatians chapter number 3. Look in verse 2. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive it? By works or faith? Faith. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit internally. That we just saw in chapter 8 of Romans, right? Now look into verse 14. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, by faith, you receive the promise of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. Look at it now. Look at it in Ephesians. So when you got saved, you received the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, then why is he saying they didn't receive him yet? They didn't receive. He didn't come upon them. We're going to see that. And he didn't come upon them with power. That's what would be indicative of in the sense of a similarity to how people in the Old Testament received him. Because people in the Old Testament weren't sealed. He didn't indwell them. They weren't put into the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Didn't exist in the Old Testament. Ephesians chapter 1, look at it in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, so what's first? Faith. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, that's a preservation. See? That is until you go to heaven. See it in chapter 4, verse 3. That's eternal security. The Bible word for eternal security is sealed.
Yep.
Look in Ephesians 4, verse number 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed. Until when?
Amen.
Do you see that? Until the Lord takes you home. Okay? That's not so in the Old Testament. Now look, and now go back to Acts chapter 8.
Again?
Yes, sir.
Can I just say that is a problem with a lot of your Pentecostals. They indicate that you really don't know that you have the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Until you're able to perform in like men.
Yes.
Speaking in tongues.
That's right.
And doing.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
What they're looking for is they're looking for evidence.
Yes.
Of the Holy Spirit, not the indwelling.
That's right. The evidence they're looking for is signs and wonders and miracles, not the fruit. Right? The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them, not by their signs. Sir? Acts. Look back in Acts chapter 8. Now this is, it's all about the power. Acts chapter 8, verse number 10. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this is the great man, is the great power of God. See in verse 19? Here's Simon saying, give me also this what? Power, that I'm whosoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Receiving the Holy Ghost, in his perspective, involves the power demonstrated by signs and wonders and miracles. So that's what they're looking at when they, now look at it in verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. So everyone there that was a believer, whether they were saved or lost, the Holy Ghost hadn't fallen upon them. Look at that wording. He doesn't say indwelling them. It's falling upon. Get that. Now look at this. Look. Same thing in chapter 10. Look in Acts chapter 10. This is incredible. This is a big place people run to show you could lose your salvation, or you have to have these incredible signs and wonders, or you haven't received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter number 10, verse 3. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. See what follows? See? Look at verse 44. See the signs? Acts 10, verse 38. I want you to see that receiving the Holy Ghost, just like there is a distinction between in and on with believing, there's a distinction with him indwelling you and him falling upon you with power. There is a distinction. Because not everybody that's saved is full of the Holy Ghost. Not everybody that's saved has the power of God in their life. Amen?
Because they're not walking.
In faith. But they had the faith to believe on him. See? So now, looking at verse 40. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all. Just like in chapter number 8. And when he fell on all of them, what took place? The Holy Spirit was poured out. The gift of the Holy Ghost, verse 46, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? See, receiving the Holy Ghost isn't just being baptized in the Spirit. It can be the power of the Spirit. Now, that's what Christ said. Look in Acts chapter 1.
So a manifestation of that today, of the Holy Spirit falling upon you, would be the liberty that you have.
Exactly. Yes. Okay. There you go. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
There would be liberty, and people would be set. You know.
Well, it's going to be associated with being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Well, it's understanding the cross, I think, too.
Well, that's going to get into a doctrinal maturity. That oftentimes takes years. Doesn't mean you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost before knowing that.
I understand.
Because Stephen obviously didn't, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8.
John, are you going to identify when that transition takes place?
It's what Andy said. It involves being filled with the Holy Ghost.
I understand that. What are you doing? But right now...
That's the receiving the Spirit. When you believe on Jesus... When the first things I gave you is when you believe on Christ, when you receive the Spirit by faith, believing on Christ, the Holy Spirit indwells you. He indwells you. He comes into you. You're sealed until the day of redemption. That's by faith. That doesn't mean you've received him where there's power in your life. And that power comes with us. That power involves your maturity, where you understand what belongs to you in Jesus Christ, what Andy was talking about, the power of the cross, the power of his resurrection, the power of the gospel. It involves faith and being filled with the Holy Ghost. The only thing is that what's missing in today's period of time, I teach very strongly, is that the signs and wonders and miracles have faded out. That doesn't mean they don't exist at all. It means that their role as a means of confirming the unwritten word and acknowledging the authority in the spoken word by the apostles was evidenced through those signs and wonders. That no longer exists, brother. Now, people that don't believe that, you've got people swallowing poison. Why would they do that?
Because they believe the Holy Spirit is going to protect
them. In Mark chapter 16, it talks about drinking poisons and toxins. Amen? Yes, he did. But you go ahead and do that now. Why doesn't it work? Because that's the difference between presumption and faith. So being filled with the Holy Ghost, as you do a study on that in the Bible, is what I would believe would help you distinguish when a man has the power of God in his life.
So this is something that's gradual, not automatically. I'm not talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about growing in grace.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But at any point in time, here you are, you're saved for the first 10 days of your life, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And what are you doing? You're boldly telling other people about Jesus Christ. Yes. You're doing that because it's flowing out. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. See? The power of God is in your life. Remember we saw how they were speaking boldly? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They simply believed. Well, a point comes where you have to grow beyond what God showed you there, because he's going to show you this. And if you don't yield to that, then the filling of the Holy Ghost is something that's drained. See? So it's gradual in the sense of God's expectation of the continuity of that filling outflowing through you. But a person that's new in the Lord could be filled with the Holy Ghost. See? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, sir?
Yeah, well, the snake, you know, Paul wasn't out there, holding snakes and letting them bite.
That's exactly right. That's presumption.
That's presumption. Yes. Well, he's in context, I think, of Mark chapter. You have to use common sense.
Yes, you do.
To the Word of God. You can't just come to it. Okay, I can drink anything I want.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and just start doing it to prove to everybody you're filled, you know.
Ma'am.
Can it wax and wane?
Yes, it can.
Yes,
it can.
How close you...
See, Paul says, be ye filled, not drunk in wine where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, which it shows you. you know, that they're not. They can. You'll find as we read through Acts, they're filled and then they get filled again. See, and then they get filled. Because the purpose of filling you isn't so you walk around, you know, filled. The purpose of filling you is so that you can overflow to others. And I've taught you the most common way God does that is by breaking you. Because a broken vessel automatically outflows what God fills in it. And in order to maintain being a vessel that flows and ministers to others, you have to constantly be filled. That's why God, the breaking process is it's important and it's useful for God using a vessel for his glory and honor. So it does wax and wane. There's no doubt about it. Even your own spirituality, you recognize that.
Right.
Now, Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come what?
Upon.
Do you see the upon? Now look at this. Let me show you a few things. Let me show you, first of all, a commonality in the Old Testament. Look in Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, I think it is. Yeah, Numbers 11. You remember when Jesus Christ, before he ascended to heaven, sent the Holy Ghost, descended from heaven the day of Pentecost, he breathed on his apostles, told them, receive the Holy Ghost. None of them were born again. See? Psalms 51. Numbers 11. Look at this. Numbers 11. When you understand this, you understand, you know, where the charismatic movement goes off. And in Numbers 11, look at Moses, verse 16, God speaks. Lord said unto Moses, get me 70 people. Okay, amen. Verse 17, I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it where? See it in verse number 25? The Lord came down in a cloud and spake on him and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders, and it came to pass when the Spirit rested upon them. Nobody has the indwelling Holy Spirit in the way that we have in the New Testament where they're sealed. It does not exist in the Old Testament. So people say you're saved the same in the Old Testament as the New Testament. You're just wrong. Everybody's saved by grace through faith. It's impossible to be saved without God's grace and without believing what he says. But nobody in the Old Testament is born again. Nobody Amen. Is part of the bride of Christ. It doesn't exist. Amen. Now look at this in Samuel.
And the reason being this is because even though the Holy Spirit came upon you, the Holy Spirit could lead you as well.
Exactly. You're going to see that in 1 Samuel chapter 11. I'm giving you the verses that would demonstrate that. With you and I, he can never leave you. See, he can come upon you and not remain upon you where his power, that's the waxing and waning, but he can never leave you.
That's when we're grieving the Holy Spirit.
Sir?
That's when we grieve the Holy Spirit.
As far as his...
not losing anything.
Exactly.
Losing
that's the power. Exactly. That's the consistency. 1 Samuel chapter number 11. 1 Samuel 11, look at verse 6. The Spirit of God, what?
Came upon Saul.
Now jump over to chapter 16. Look in verse number 13 of 1 Samuel. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon who?
David.
Look at verse 14. And the Spirit of the Lord, what? Do you see that?
Yeah.
Look at now. Jump over to Psalm 50. This is Old Testament.
This is Eagles.
Ma'am.
Yeah, that's what I was going to.
What?
Say. It says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from him.
Something else came in.
Spirit. Now, is that, can somebody who's saved, if the Holy Spirit departs from you and you're not doing anything to replace, you know, like fill the. Like,
I understand.
Bible and all that. Can an evil spirit...
Not if you're not doing anything to call it in. Holy Spirit, you belong to God. Now, I've taught you that you very carefully, so I'm cautious about saying that a Christian can be possessed because God never uses that language.
Right.
But what... Because you've been bought with a price.
Right.
See? You belong to him. But what about you doesn't belong to him that he doesn't...
The flesh.
The flesh. The only truth to a Christian being possessed is about his flesh. Amen? Nothing else. Exactly. So in that sense, an unclean spirit can, that's what's happening when they're talking in tongues. They're talking in tongues or they're doing that. They become a vessel. Their members become a vessel for Satan. Psalms 51. Isn't the Word of God incredible?
Yes.
It's incredible. Psalms 51. And I recognize that if God's going to bring people to a church environment like this, it's because they're going to love the Word of God.
Amen.
And they're going to want to have a closer walk with Jesus Christ, because that's what Canaan Christian Fellowship is all about, nothing else. Amen? Psalms chapter 51. Does that mean you don't sow? No, man, when you're filled with the Spirit, how do you not tell people about Jesus? At least once in a while.
Yeah.
Psalms 51. Look what Paul says. David. Where's he said, take not?
That's 11.
Verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence. And what?
Take not the Holy Spirit.
That'll never happen to you.
Right.
See that? Now look back in the New Testament. Let's go over there. Look in Romans chapter number 1. And you'll see that it's the power. It accompanies. Romans chapter number 1, verse number 11. For I long to see you, these are saved people. I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. In Romans 1, verse 11. Romans 1, verse 11. I'm trying to drive this home as the Christian, that the power of God involves, an impartation of gifts and a nurturing of those gifts through maturity. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Again, this nonsense that you're talking in tongues, so you, all of a sudden, God's got his hand. It doesn't work like that, man. You can't give your keys to a 10-year-old kid. Amen? He's going to get in an accident and kill somebody, not himself. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 4. And my speech and my preaching was not enticing with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see a distinction there? You're receiving the Spirit. You got them. Amen. Now that power has to do, it's not just the signs and wonders. It's the boldness in declaring the Word of God. And the more faith you have that is based on the knowledge of the Word of God, the more bold you will be speaking it.
Yeah.
And that's demonstrable when you speak to people. People will be frightened of you, not because you're trying to frighten them away. It's because of your confidence. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Do you see that distinction? 1 Thessalonians 1, 5. So when you come to Acts, it's a very common place for people to stumble on and choke over. And all we're doing is comparing Scripture with Scripture to properly understand it. And I'm not forcing it down your throat. I'm giving you Scriptures, and you have to, like the Thessalonians, you have to determine if what he's saying is lining up with the book. Because that's rule number one. The Scriptures cannot be broken. And you find it being broken with the charismatic movement all the time. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse number 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but what? In power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of man we were among you. For you say they weren't speaking in hypocrisy. But it's power and in the Holy Ghost. See? Pray that God, that I may speak boldly. That's what's involved. Now, when you see in the book of Acts, people are filled with the Holy Ghost, it's not just the signs and wonders, which had a time frame necessity in confirming the unwritten word of God. But with it also came the boldness to speak the word of God with confidence, regardless of the consequences. Back in the book of Acts, chapter number 8. So do we somewhat have a hold of that? Okay, in Acts chapter number 8. You know what amazes me is that I really don't believe Christians are being taught the Word of God anymore.
Nope.
I really don't. Amen. Acts chapter number 8. So now he says, for as yet he was fallen upon. You got it? None of them. Only so even the ones that were truly saved because of their belief. Well, that there's a contradiction if receiving the Holy Spirit means he wasn't indwelling them. He very carefully doesn't say he came in them. upon. I just love the word of God. I thank God for it. Amen. So he says, fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, very, very purposely, God forbade this falling upon of the Holy Ghost in a demonstrable way, manifesting itself through the powers of signs and wonders, for the pure reason of the Samaritans versus the Jews in Jerusalem had to have a shootout. Their prejudices had to both be shot down because they're the bad and the ugly. Only God is good. Amen. Bang, bang. Verse number 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, remember we talked about the laying on of hands is the formal acknowledgement, and that's what they're doing. The Jews are formally acknowledging that God can come to the Samaritans. And the Samaritans are formally acknowledging that God can, and in fact did, authorize his power to come through Jerusalem. Both prejudices are erased. Now, you know that because what's amazing is because they're coming to Samaria, right? In verse number 14, they heard that Samaria. Now, when this is all said and done, it's all done. Look in verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the what? It's no longer Samaria. It's Samaritans. They're people. Prejudices don't look at people different than you as people. You got that? See? Whether they're blacks or whites, Asians or Indians, you know, fat or skinny, they're people. No different than anyone else. The gospel is not exclusive. It's inclusive to all whosoever will. There's no prejudice in the gospel. You either just choose to believe or not to believe. That's just wonderful for me how he brings that out. You're free from prejudice when you look at people that are different than you as people. Praise the Lord. Brother?
John, would you agree that the transition that was taking place there where they were laying hands on them, now Philip is going to go on a special journey and meet up with this Ethiopian, of which he did not have to lay his hands on.
That's right.
But the Ethiopian received the Holy
yes.
Spirit.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Would that be the truth?
There's no doubt about it. He's showing you that there's no strict formula that you have to abide by. It's just faith. Because you'll find it's when we get to Acts chapter 10, it's not the same as this. People aren't getting their hands laid on them. They are getting their hands. You don't need hands laid on you to get the Holy Ghost.
Right.
See? That's an acknowledgement. See? And God honoring that acknowledgement because of their faith to do it. And that it's not that they themselves are the conduit like a papal succession. Amen? It's that God through them says, yeah, that's right. That, you know, my hand is on them and I'm proving it by what I'm doing through them. It's God. See? Back in the book of Acts chapter 8. So we got that. We see that. What time is it? Where is there a paragraph mark? Okay. But that was so important for me to make sure you guys, so many people stumble in Acts chapter 8 over those two different teachings. And we went through them somewhat thoroughly. So look at verse 18 and 19. And when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what? They call that, you look at a dictionary, it's called simony. I might be pronouncing it wrong. What is it? Simony? It's S-I-M-O-N, Simon, with a Y after it.
Simony.
But that is trying to purchase religious favor. The Catholics call it indulgences. And it doesn't cut it, amen? You money can't, that's what people do. That's what lobbyists do. Lobbyists in the political world, they're in the religious world. We're going to give you money. You want to maintain your tax-exempt status, you better start bowing to this legalized form of sin. Amen? That's simony or simony, whatever it is. Simon, give me all the whomsoever I lay. He may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. And it ain't. You know how many people think they could they excel and they become condescending because of money?
That's right.
you'll get it in the churches also. As far as I'm concerned, that's why it's important a preacher doesn't know who gives what and how much. Amen? And his life isn't dependent on it in such a way that he kowtows to people that have money. Just preach the word.
Well, they
got to
get out of purgatory
somehow.
Sir?
I'm going to try and put this... The world and Muslims, or true believers and Muslims, we need to put that aside too.
Yes, because they're people. And Mexicans. We have this thing because the illegal immigration is primarily being routed through Mexico. There's other ones also. But we look at them as almost downgrade, and it's not. They're people. And I can't help but look at how God would bring them to the gospel.
But I think what I'm trying to tie in is Muslims and Christianity in the end times has to.
Oh, you're talking about the apostate element of it. Yes. I teach that woman with the leavened bread are the three measures, it says, of meal. Where it's leavened. I teach that's the apostasy of the three monotheistic faiths, which is Muslim, Christian, and Jew. If you don't join those, you're not going to have an ecumenical movement. It's right there. So that's what you see happening. Muslims will get brought in with the signs and wonders also. That's powerful, brother.
Yeah.
It's powerful. Makes people feel. I know people that they talk in tongues and they don't want to be around this church because it's not going to be allowed here. And I don't forbid you do what you do in your house is your private. I think that's a false. I think it's an unclean spirit. And you're going to tell me that you need to speak in a language you don't understand in order for feeling in order to believe that God hears you or understand? Just it's so nonsensical to me. It doesn't make sense. Why in the world wouldn't you be praying in a language you understand, and God respond to you in a language you understand, so you know what you're hearing and saying? Anything else is nonsense, brother.
Well, it's like Brother Bob was saying. That's their conviction.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right. But that's powerful because you're telling somebody that is feeling good from that. They get the goosebumps and the softness and the teary eyes and, you know, God loves me, you know. And it's like you're telling them, why don't you just believe what the Word of God says? Faith gives birth to the emotion, not the other way around, man. Amen?
Amen.
Although, all right. Anything else? We're going to stop there. We'll continue through here. But that was important. I'm glad you were patient with that portion of scripture.